book of Isaiah, chapter 40. I'd like to read verses 6 through verse 31. Last Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we preached on verses 3 through 5. I'd like to, and then several weeks ago, we preached, I believe, on verses 28 through 31. We'd like to again begin reading with verse 6. The voice said, "Cry," and he, which would have been Isaiah, said, "What shall I cry?" Here's the answer. "All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? A workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or whose, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. And bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is past over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, basically has, if you were going to outline the book, has three major sections. And each section contain messages from Isaiah to the people. The first section would be from chapters 1 through 35. And you'll see in those chapters that most of the messages are messages of condemnation because of sin. Because of their sin, Isaiah is telling them that God would judge them. Then in chapter 36 through 39, there is a historical interlude where we read of Hezekiah. And then the third section contains messages of comfort and consolation, and that begins here in chapter 40. Now, the second section of the book, the historical interlude from chapters 36 through 39, ends with God foretelling that his people would be going into captivity. Notice in chapter 39, verse 5 through verse 7. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, thou shalt beget, they shall take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So the second section ends with the words that they would be going into Babylonian captivity. Then beginning with chapter 40, we have messages of comfort and consolation. Notice how the chapter opens in chapter 40, verse 1. This is God speaking to Isaiah. This would be God commissioning Isaiah. He says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. In verse 2, he says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And then he tells him to cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So we have this commission that Isaiah is to comfort the people. Following the commission are instructions concerning the message that Isaiah was now to preach to the people of God. So the opening words of Isaiah chapter 40, there in verse 1, really set the mood. Comfort ye, sets the mood for the final section of the book. Now, the word comfort conveys the idea of help, conveys the idea of support, encouragement, that which soothes, that which would reassure, that which would bring tranquility and contentment. And if you have those things, you're comfortable. And then in verse 6, the voice said, cry. The voice said, cry. Again, that word cry means to shout, to exclaim. And again, as we saw last week, it speaks of a sense of urgency. It speaks of a sense of importance. Isaiah responded by saying, what What shall I cry? Keep in mind, the commission is, comfort ye my people. And then God said, cry or shout or exclaim the message, declare the message. And Isaiah says, what shall I cry? What shall I speak? Again, he was to proclaim a message that would bring comfort to the people of God. And Isaiah desires to know, what are the specifics? What are the specifics of that message of comfort? The message that Isaiah was to deliver to the people for the purpose of comforting them was basically a threefold message. God outlined it for Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 40. And from this threefold message, again, Isaiah's question is, what shall I cry? What shall I speak? And God is going to answer his question in the rest of the chapter. And again, it's a threefold message. But from this threefold message, we learn the basis or the foundation of God's comfort. A lot of people want comfort, but they want it on their terms. And as you look at this threefold message, we have the foundation of God's comfort, the foundation of receiving God's comfort. From that threefold message that Isaiah was to preach, we learn where God's people can truly find comfort, where it is that they can find help and support and encouragement, where they can find that which will soothe them and reassure their heart and as a result bring them tranquility and contentment. If you want comfort, you have to look in the right places. We see also this message of comfort was, as we see in verse 3, and we realize we didn't read those verses, but the message of comfort was proclaimed while they're in the wilderness, while they're in a place of danger, in a place of inconvenience, a place of confinement, a place of difficulties, a place of loneliness and confusion. And what that is telling us is, he's saying, comfort ye my people while they're in the wilderness. You don't have to be taken out of the wilderness to receive comfort. That's what a lot of people think. Well, in order for me to be comforted, my trial has to end. Well, that's just not so. That's not so at all. And so we see the message was to be preached in the wilderness. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of God's way of comfort. And by seeing this, I believe we see, if we don't get comfort of God, from God, we can see perhaps where we fail. And if we want to receive comfort from God, we see that God has a specific order. God has a specific order. There is a foundation for comfort. The very first thing, remember in verse 6, Isaiah said, what shall I call? Or what shall I cry? Again, he is to comfort the people. Comfort ye my people. What shall I cry? What shall I say that will bring them comfort? And notice the very first point of the message that Isaiah was to proclaim. What shall I cry? Verse 6. Here's the answer. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. The very first point in God's reply to "What shall I cry?" in order to comfort these people is, Isaiah, you point out to them the frailty and the vanity of the flesh. You tell them that all flesh is as grass, that it's withering, that it is dying, that it is frail. In other words, you tell them of their infirmity. You tell them of their weakness. You tell them of their fallibility. You tell them how inadequate they are. You tell them how the deficiency of the flesh. This is where God's message of comfort would begin. Quite different. Quite different from where man would begin in bringing comfort. But this is where God begins. Comfort ye, comfort ye. What shall I cry? Tell them that all flesh is as grass. In other words, tell them that everything of the flesh, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. It will all fail. What God is telling Isaiah is, you tell them that everything that is earthly, everything that is human, is going to wither like the grass. Keep in mind, this is a message of comfort. Tell them that all that is earthly is temporary. Tell them that everything that is earthly, it's all fading. Tell them that all that is of the flesh, it's all going to decay. It's all vanity. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. And Isaiah says, what shall I cry? And God says, tell them of their utter weakness. Tell them of their utter inadequacy. Many would say, that doesn't sound very comforting. This is God's way of comforting. Man today, in his desire to be encouraged and nurtured in his own ways, and encouraged and nurtured in his own abilities, will rise in protest to where God begins his message of comfort. So where is the comfort? Where is the comfort of being told that you are fallible? Where is the comfort of being told of your deficiency? The comfort is this. It is our nature. It is our nature, it is the nature of man to seek comfort in the arm of flesh. So God begins his message of comfort by saying, flesh is frail. Flesh is inadequate. Flesh is deficient. Again, you may find temporary comfort in fleshly things. You may find temporary comfort in that which is earthly. But it's temporary at best. Comfort ye, my people. Tell them that flesh is frail, that it's inadequate, that it's deficient, that it is unreliable. What God is doing here is he is reminding them, and something that we all need to be reminded of, that if we want the comfort of God, we must not trust We must not rely upon and lean upon and depend upon the flesh. This is where it begins. Again, we said earlier that if you want comfort, you're going to have to go to the right place to get it. And the reason many do not receive God's comfort is because they're going to the wrong places. So God begins his message by saying, do not depend on the flesh. It's all frail. It's all vanity. It's empty. So there's a reminder not to rely upon these fleshly things. Notice, keep a mark there in Isaiah 40, but notice Psalm 108. We'll look at several verses where we are reminded of this truth. In Psalm 108 and verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That's not what I want. I want verse 12. I was reading Psalm 107. Psalm 108. Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. For vain is the help of man. Do not trust in the help of man. There's nothing wrong with man helping his fellow man. But don't trust in that. Don't rely upon that. That's not what we're to put our faith in. Why? Because all flesh is as grass. It's all withering. It's all fading. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Isaiah 2, verse 22. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is it to be accounted of? Cease ye from man. His breath is in his nostrils. In other words, he's going to die. You cannot depend upon flesh. Again, at best, he gives temporary relief. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 1, he says, woe. Verse 2, we have those described. Well, they're described in verse 1 also, but we're interested in verse 2. Those that are described for who this woe applies. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. In other words, they go back to Egypt. They go back to the world instead of asking God to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. He's rebuking them for trusting in the world. Notice Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses, or depend on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. And the horses and chariots can be anything and everything for you and I. And the horsemen, because they are strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek ye the Lord. Verse 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Again, this is what God is saying here in Isaiah 40. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Vain is the help of man. If you want the comfort of God, do not rely upon the flesh. Do not rely upon that which is earthly. This is the first thing that God is telling Isaiah to tell the people. Isaiah 36 and verse 6. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lead, lean, it will go into his hand. It'll break and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Now think about that. Pharaoh at that time was a mighty king. Pharaoh represents might. Yet it's like leaning upon a weak reed or a weak stick. It's going to break. It's going to pierce you through. In other words, leaning upon the flesh is going to cause sorrow, is going to cause pain to yourself. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. To trust in man, your heart has to depart from God. Your heart departs from God in order for you to trust in man. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. Verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jerob. Yet he could not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. Ephraim depended upon that which is fleshly. So what God is telling Isaiah, he's saying, I want you to begin to comfort the people. You have condemned them because of their sin. They have been told that they are going into Babylonian captivity. I will eventually bring them out of Babylonian captivity. And now I want you to comfort them. And Isaiah says, Lord, what shall I say? What shall I tell the people? And God says, begin with telling them how frail, how weak, how unreliable the flesh is. That very message offends most. You tell somebody how weak they are and how everything that is earthly and everything they are depending on, it's all vanity. It's all empty. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's all empty. But this is where God begins. If his people are to receive comfort, they need to be reminded that that which is earthly, that which is human, it's all like the grass. It withereth. It's all like the flower of the field. It fadeth away. So he tells them the very first thing to receive comfort, don't depend on the flesh. If you want comfort tonight, if you want the comfort of God, do not depend upon your flesh. Do not depend on anybody else's flesh. Do not depend on anything that is earthly. I don't care what it is. Whether it be a spouse, whether it be another human being, whether it be a job or whatever. Do not depend. Do not rely upon that which is earthly. Because all God has to do, as he says a little later, is, and it's all gone. That's all God has to do. That husband or wife that you lean upon, all God has to do, it's gone. That job that you have to rely upon, that you can't live without, all God has to do, it's gone. It's gone. So God says, if you want my comfort, don't run to those things. Look at God's people today. I mean, we expect. The world doesn't know any better. They don't know God. The only thing they know is that which is earthly. So that's what they depend on for their comfort. But you and I, as God's people, certainly by now, we that have been saved for some years, certainly by now, certainly we have learned that that which is of the flesh, you can't depend on it. You can't depend upon it. And that's why when it's sad, it's heartbreaking when you see people build their lives around something that is earthly. Don't you realize all God has to do? It's gone. And you're building your whole life, and you're structuring your whole family. You structure all your activities around that earthly thing. And then you wonder, why don't I receive God's comfort? Because you're relying on the wrong thing. And this is where God begins. And then notice, again back in Isaiah chapter 40, after telling them the frailty of that which is earthly, in verse 8, he says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but in contrast to the frailty of that which is earthly, the word of our God shall stand forever." This is the second point of his message. The first point of Isaiah's message would be, tell them not to depend on that which is earthly. Now Isaiah, for the second point, direct their attention to the word of God. Direct their attention to that which will not fail. Tell them that man is faint. Tell them that man is frail. Tell them that man is feeble. But remind them that the word of God is strong. The word of God is sure. The word of God is secure. You can depend upon it. Amen. This is how we receive comfort. Here's how many of God's people react. When you tell them what the word of God says, they will say, "But what if?" The word of God will not fail. Everything else that you are depending upon, everything else that you are leaning upon, it's all vanity. It's all empty. And one day it's going to break. And it's going to pierce through your skin. And it's going to cause you agony and pain. Remind them that the word of God shall endure forever. All flesh is as grass. The grass withereth. What that means is all that is earthly in time is going to shrivel and dry up. Look at Flint. Oh, GM will never leave. In time, it all shrivels up. I don't care if it's GM or whatever. Everything that is earthly in time shrivels up and dries up. And therefore, we shouldn't depend on it for a source of help, for a source of support, for a source of contentment and comfort. But the word of our God shall stand forever. And you can go all through the word of God. We're not going to do it tonight for time's sake. But we are reminded over and over and over again that God's word will endure. That God's word shall be forever and ever, that not one letter will fade away. So you have a choice. You've got that which in time will shrivel up. You've got, on the other hand, the word of God, which will abide forever. What are you going to trust in? What are you going to rely upon? This is where our comfort is found. Our comfort is not found in relying upon fleshly things or earthly things. Our comfort is found in the Word of God. It's amazing to me how many of God's people, in the midst of trial, searching for comfort, will read a devotional book, will read a book of poetry or whatever, rather than the Word of God. You're going to find comfort in God's Word. Before God comforts you, He might tell you just how insufficient and inefficient you are. But all that is for the purpose of comfort. In the midst of change, the Word of God is like a solid rock in the midst of a desert of shifting sand. You know, people talk, and I've used the phrase many times. I've told my children, you need to find a job that's economy proof. There is no such thing. There is no such thing because it all shrivels up. Everything that is earthly shrivels up. Don't depend on it. But the word of our God shall stand forever. It cannot be extinguished. It continues on. Despite all the burnings, despite all the inquisitions, beside all the perversions of man, God's book has survived, and the message remains the same. Yes, it is true, all flesh is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God is dependable. The word of our God is unfailing, and that's where we find comfort. And notice the third point of his message. Again, in verse 1, it is, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Isaiah says, what shall I cry? He says the first thing you tell them is everything that is earthly, everything that is of flesh, it's all decaying. Don't trust in it. The second thing you do is you point them to the Word of God. And the third thing I want you to do, notice verse 9. He says, behold your God. This is where comfort is found. Comfort is found in God's Word. Comfort is found in beholding, concentrating, focusing upon our God. So many want comfort, but they cannot get their focus. They cannot shift their focus from that which is earthly to God. The comfort is found when your focus is upon God. That's where there's help. That's where there's support. That's where there's encouragement. That's where we find assurance. Behold you, God. That's where we find courage. That's where we find tranquility. Contentment. I believe that's where we find joy also. Beholding our God. Comfort is found in having our attention fixed upon God. Now, in order to behold our God, we have to look away from that which is earthly. If you really want the comfort of God tonight, you have to learn to look away from earthly. Look away from that which is of flesh. Turn your head and look to God. There is comfort. But here's what most people do. They look to the earth, they look to God, they look to the earth, they look to God. There's no comfort in that. None whatsoever.
The comfort is found turning away from that which is earthly and beholding. And beholding
our God. This is what would comfort the people of God. Behold your God. Sometimes we have to look away from our circumstances and just behold God. Sometimes we have to look away from our situations and behold God. Sometimes we have to look away from that which opposes us, the opposition and the difficulties, and behold your God. There's comfort there. So those words, behold your God, is a call to make God your focal point. And then again, we've run out of time, but you can read verses 11 through verse 28. And he draws their attention to many things about God. And several times, he repeats, behold, behold, get your attention upon God. Because God is reality. God isn't going to shrivel up. God isn't going to fail. God isn't going to be like leaning upon a weak stick that's going to break and pierce your skin. Lean upon God. This is where we find comfort. So after drawing their attention to God, Isaiah again reminds them, and we have to continually be reminded of these things, reminds them of the frailty of man. In verse 30, he says, even the youths shall faint. You expect, perhaps, for an elderly person to faint. But God tells Isaiah, tell them that even the youths shall faint. Just another way of saying, the grass withereth. Don't depend on that which is earthly. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men, the strongest, shall utterly, completely fall. So he reminds them again. And then he calls upon them in verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord. And we preached on that several weeks ago. That word wait means to bind ourselves to God. To wait upon God is to bind ourselves to God. To bind ourselves to the will of God. It's trusting God. It's depending upon God. This is where we find comfort. You do not find comfort fleeing from God. You do not find comfort doing it your own way. You do not find comfort in the world. You do not find comfort in getting away. You find comfort in beholding your God. In binding yourself to God. Submitting yourself to God. Binding yourself to God's will. Depending upon Him. Relying completely upon Him. So, Isaiah, in the light of coming captivity, in the light of difficult and trying days to come for the nation of Israel, is told to comfort the people. He is told to reassure them and encourage them. I've even heard people say, well, I would have no idea how to say something comfortable or comforting to them. Point them in the direction of God. Well, that's not going to comfort them. They're going to get mad. That might be so. But that's the only place they're going to find comfort. Tell them to turn away from the flesh.
Well, that's just going to make them mad. It might. But regardless, it's still the only place they're going to find comfort. Turn away from that which is earthly.
Turn to that which is spiritual. Turn to that which is eternal. So God, Isaiah, seeks to reassure and to encourage the people who would suffer from Babylonian captivity. And he begins, God says, here's your first point. You begin by telling them of the frailty and the inadequacy and the deficiency of everything that is temporal. And then you remind them that God's word is an unfailing resource. That's still true today. What Isaiah was to preach is still true today. That which is earthly, don't depend on it. I don't care what it is. Social Security, health insurance, it doesn't matter. I mean, those things are nice. I'm not condemning those things. I'm not condemning them at all. I'm not condemning health insurance. I'm glad to have it. I'm not condemning Social Security. I'm not condemning retirement or pension. I'm not condemning any of those things. But don't trust in them. Don't trust in them. Because all God has to do, it's gone. It's gone. And I believe sometimes God does that just to show us. Because God's people need to be reminded. You listen to God's people talk of job security. Your job is only as secure as God allows it to be. All he has to do is blow, and it's gone. It's gone. Don't depend on that which is temporal, but depend upon the word of God. And then from there, he draws their attention to the greatness and the immensity of the Lord. How can we not find comfort in focusing upon the greatness and immensity of God? Every day I try to take time to just think of the greatness of God. Just how great, just how big God is. It's mind-boggling. We need to focus upon the immensity of God. No matter what else might be going on, I assure you today, there is comfort. But you won't find it in that which is earthly. You'll find it in the spiritual. No matter what is going on in your life, there is stability. There is a strength to be had. There is a song that we can have in our hearts. And there is hope to be experienced by the child of God. But the child of God will not find these things in that which is earthly. The child of God will find these things in this book, and will find these things by beholding your God. Yes, when you try to comfort even a lost man, this is what they need to be taught. You're depending on the flesh, and that's not the way to do it. And there's a good chance if you tell them that, they're not going to listen to you any longer. But your responsibility is just to speak truth. Leave the rest to God. And that's the simple truth. Don't trust in the flesh. We all do. We all do. To varying degrees, and we trust in different things. But we all do trust in the flesh. But God help us turn our eyes away from that which is earthly and get our eyes upon the Word of God and behold our God. I'm telling you, that is where you can find comfort tonight. And whatever trial it may be, whatever your problem is, I don't believe that your trial and your burden is bigger than God. So you just focus upon the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come.